Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. Let's begin our memorial meeting with the singing of hymn number 200. Hymn 200. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Tender to me the promise of his word. In God, my Saviour, shall my heart rejoice. Hymn 200. So we'll continue with the singing of hymn number 290. He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. There is no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Hymn 290.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Later on this week, next Thursday, in fact, the date will be September the 11th. It's a date that will be remembered by many folk in many countries throughout the world, possibly mostly in America, and I think we all know why. Now, events of this day 11 years ago, some of you in this hall would have only, well, not even been teenagers. So you may not remember the events of that day, but I'm sure you're aware of it. That day will be etched in the minds of many folk. 9/11, as it's known as, was and is a day to remember. It's a day when folk took time to pause and to reflect on the events of that day. And most folk would indeed say that things will never be the same again. America lost its sense of security, its sense of invulnerability, its feeling of being all-powerful, and its thinking that really bad things like this always happened somewhere else to other people. Or indeed that they were made-up fantasies of a film set. People reflect upon these things, particularly on that day, and it's even mentioned by my colleagues, because we'll come on to think about what was said and done that day. They don't think of what happened, about what happened on that day all the time, or just on that day, but the blatant atrocities of what happened on that day has made 9/11 quite a special day on the calendar. And when we think back to that day when the first plane hit the tower, I was in a meeting and someone knocked on the door of the conference room to say that a plane had hit a building in New York. Well, we paid little attention and carried on with the business at hand. We thought perhaps that a small plane had or helicopter had hit a building, and yes, perhaps a tragic accident and not particularly an extraordinary event. Then the second plane hit and everything erupted. The room that we were in had glass partitions, and we could see outside that our colleagues all clustered around computers, very shocked looks on their faces. Some of the girls very upset. The TV was set to Sky News Channel, and for the whole day, virtually no work was done. We were glued to the TV screens and our computers, not really being able to comprehend the scenes that were being beamed across the world. Then it really hit home when someone tried to get a really urgent Ford US dollar purchase for a client on some currency, but they couldn't get through to the dealers. Well, then that brought the situation very near to us, because it dawned on us that the currency exchange dealers that we were trying to get through to, they worked on the 105th floor of the World Trade Center, housed within those buildings. We knew those people by name, and we used their services regularly. Then the enormous scale of that tragedy really started to hit home when the news feeds showed videos of people falling to their deaths. They were choosing to jump rather than stay in the building to be burnt or overcome by smoke. Of huge clouds of debris swirling madly after clouds of people fleeing for their lives in terror. Then the first tower collapsed. A truly unbelievable sight as this huge edifice, seemingly so impregnable, and then the second tower. It all seemed so impossible. Two huge towers that had been there for 20 years and commanded the New York skyline. And suddenly they were gone. Also gone were almost 3,000 people. So many lives would be forever affected by this tragedy. Families torn apart, parents, children, relatives of all kind. Life would never be the same for so many. We have perhaps come to terms with the new realities of the threat of terrorism in modern life. Perhaps in the UK we're a little bit divorced from it, but any of us who travel overseas will know just how much longer it takes to board a plane, all in the name of security. And our human nature tells us that we like to feel secure. But now perhaps there's a feeling of being unprotected and a little bit vulnerable and fearful when we think about these acts of terrorism. So many choose not to think about it, except perhaps on this date each year. So with this background then, we need to ask ourselves if this is how it has affected us as Christadelphians. Are we more fearful of terrorism, more insecure? Are we feeling a bit more vulnerable out there in the world? Well, let's have a look at the Psalms for a moment. Psalm 46. The Psalms really seem to have encouragement for us all, don't they? For any situation that life throws at us. There's some great words of the psalmist in Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, what exactly does that mean to us? God is our refuge. Well, I suspect you know that that word refuge means a shelter, literally or figuratively. It means a place of refuge, a place of shelter, trust and hope. Well, God is our refuge, our shelter, our hope, and our trust. It sounds good. Well, actually, a lot more than good, but what does it actually mean to us as we live our daily lives? I suspect that we're just so glad that this atrocity hadn't affected or happened to us. And we don't know how many Christadelphians were affected or lost their lives, but we do know of some folk who were. And I wonder whether we thought at that time to offer a prayer for the safety of our brothers and sisters in the affected areas. Well, just suppose that event happened here in London, and then what will our thoughts be? Are our minds so familiar with the word that we'd immediately go on to the scriptures for reasoning and support? Verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I think you'll find this interesting. The word for refuge in verse 1 of Psalm 46 is a word, and my pronunciation is not great here, but I'll try it anyway, machakeh, M-A-C-H-A-C-E-H. And that has the meaning of shelter from rain or storm, from danger or falsehood. However, if you look a bit further down in the chapter, the word for refuge in verses 7 and 11 is a slightly different word. It's a word, I think pronounced misgab, M-I-S-G-A-B, meaning a cliff or other lofty, inaccessible place. Abstractly, altitude, figuratively, a refuge, defence, a high fort or tower, a refuge. So now perhaps we can read verse 7 like this. The God of Jacob is our high tower, and verse 11 the same way. So our God is not only a place to take shelter, but a place to take refuge. But he is also our high tower. He stands above the tumult of what's happening underneath. And perhaps when we think of those high towers in the World Trade Center, we should really think of the high tower, our God, who the psalmist says is with us. I guess that the problem that we all have from time to time, that when the events like this happen or something terrible happens in our lives, we ask ourselves, is God really with us? Or if he is with us, why is this particular thing happening to me? Well, perhaps later in the Psalms we see the question we should be asking, or rather the statement we should be making. Psalm 91, if you could flick over to it. Psalm 91 and verse 2. The psalmist says this, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Trust. Yes, I decided to look up what that actually means. And it's interesting because here are three different dictionary definitions for trust. Firstly, reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc. of a person or thing. Confidence. Secondly, confident expectation of something. Hope. Thirdly, a person on whom or thing on which one relies. God is my trust. Yes, trust. There's very little of it in the world we live in, isn't there? But we are not of the world, are we? We're in it, but not of it, because we have a different frame of mind. A different frame of mind, perhaps, from those around us. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And it's interesting to know that there are over 30 references in the Psalms alone to trusting in God. So this idea of trusting in God is not some hypothetical idea or comfortable thought. It's something that we have to have that has to be a reality in our lives. We really, really have to trust God and to know that he will care for us. Our God will deliver us. Our God has delivered us. Because of what we remember here this morning, the death and resurrection of our Lord, we've escaped this snare of permanent death, haven't we? We've escaped it. Why would we want to go back to the trap again, to be ensnared in this life, to enjoy, in inverted commas, what this life has to offer? When we saw people rushing from those crumbling towers, only the firefighters were rushing the other way. Those rushing away from the building had escaped the terror, and whatever it took, they had escaped, and they were thankful for it. And eventually, when reflecting upon the situation, the full impact of what they had experienced would have sunk in. All of their colleagues who would not escape, all of their personal effects that they could not retrieve. And sometimes the whole thing would seem overwhelming. 2,000 children lost a parent on that day. Sometimes perhaps we allow ourselves to think of a truth as something where we have lost so much. We may have lost friendships to those who think we are strange in our beliefs. We may have lost some family connections for the same reason. We may have lost the friendship of brothers and sisters because of our stand in the truth. And sometimes we get a bit down about these as we have lost so much. It's ironic, isn't it? We think that we've lost so much, but we have been given our life. We may have lost the benefits of this life in some ways, but what is that compared to the kingdom? When people were staggering home from the World Trade Center on that day, none of them were thinking, oh, I wish I was wearing my best suit, or I wish I had worn a matching hat. They were overjoyed to have escaped certain death. And that is what we should be, overjoyed to have escaped a certain death. Well, here are some things to think about. 2 days earlier than 9/11, on the 9th of September, an incident as trivial as an accidental moment of thoughtfulness triggered an event which no one would ever see, let alone appreciate. You see, a lady was coming down to her basement stairs and she slipped on a hairbrush that somebody had inadvertently left there. The fall was so hard and awkward that she fractured her ankle. The trip back from the hospital emergency was on crutches, wearing a cast. She was told to keep the weight off her feet for several days. The angry frustration towards the unknown family culprit only grew as she had to miss her important business appointment at 9:30 on the 11th of September at the World Trade Center. That same day, someone else who was normally never late for work at the World Trade Center stopped off for a coffee, but headed home to get something she had forgotten. She never returned to the same workplace again. Not long after this, a third lady was ordered off the train that she was taking to work at the World Trade Center, only to emerge outdoors to watch that horrific event that was unfolding in the skyline above. On the morning of 9/11, a photocopy technician awoke, knowing that the workload was going to be a light one that day. He decided to take a sick day. He wasn't feeling well. Just as he was calling his boss, he was told to immediately turn on the TV and watch what was happening to the building where he was scheduled to work. These stories are from Christadelphians. How amazing to think that God had created circumstances to save them from certain death on that day. God had created a refuge for these folk. Psalm 91 verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. So the question remains, have we made the Lord our refuge, our habitation? So we ask ourselves, is this what our God is to us? A place where we live, the centre of our lives, our strong habitation. It is worth noting this same psalm contains these words, Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So in what way can our God be our dwelling place, the centre of our lives? How do we apply our hearts unto wisdom? Well, I think we all know that it all starts with a basic fundamental truth, that if we want God to be the centre of our lives, we've got to put him there. In our personal lives and in our ecclesial lives, he has given us his word to tell us everything we need to know about him and his purpose. And yet, sometimes it seems that we look upon this as a burden to be endured rather than a joy to be shared. So I think the first, most basic way in which we can put God in the centre of our lives is by reading what he has written for our instruction. Let us not forget, for our comfort. Because Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Yes, our God is a God who comforts us when we are down, when we are troubled, when we are depressed or discouraged. In return, he expects, he requires that we do the same for others. We're not to fear these things because in Psalm 91 and verse 2 and 6 it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When we read that verse from Proverbs 3 of trust, we should have also read verse 6 as well, because it says there, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is how we should show our trust for God. We acknowledge him, or as the word really implies, we know him. It's a word often used in Ezekiel with the idea of knowing that what God says he will do, he will definitely do. In Ezekiel's case of what he was going to do in Jerusalem. In a few days we're going to read Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 4 says this, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They were being told, we are being told, know that what I say, I will do. In the case of the Proverbs reading, we are being told, know God, acknowledge him in the way that you live your lives, and he will direct your paths. God has offered to be our refuge and strength, but we have to make him that, and we have to start somewhere. So what's our priority? Is our priority putting our trust in God, making him our refuge, the place where we choose to live? Or are our priorities somewhere else? The economic downturns of the past 6 years or so should have made us realise that to trust in this world for security is pointless. When we've reprioritised our work plans, reprioritised our savings plans, reprioritised our retirement plans, have we then given any thought to reprioritizing our spiritual lives? What about us? We have all probably experienced some sort of tragedy in our lives, or acute loss, or physical pain. And when the tragedy was at its worst, or the loss so hard to bear, or the pain so acute, I suspect that we were constantly seeking our God in prayer, praying to him for help, seeking consolation in his word. But when time passed and the urgency of the tragedy, the loss, the pain, when that faded, maybe, just maybe, did the urgency and consistency of our prayers fade also? God is there for us always. But are we always there for him? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, always. Psalm 46 and verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the earth melted. On the 11th of September 2001, the towers shook and melted, and death and destruction followed. But we're still here, aren't we? Because verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That is indeed a day to remember, but not just for the reason that the world remembers. Today is our day of remembrance every week, not just once a year. On it, we remember what it is that has brought us together this morning, the price that was paid for rescuing us from the trap of death. Remember, our God cares for us. He wants us to be in his kingdom, and that is what we have, brothers and sisters. We have God's care and protection through his angels. It is real, although we have a hard time comprehending it sometimes. So what shall we remember today for? We should remember it for the time that we have shared fellowship together, for the time when we have shared these emblems together, and above all for the death and resurrection of our Lord, who has made all this possible for us. We can't help but remember that tragedy of the day over 13 years ago now, but perhaps we can also reflect as we examine ourselves, what have these years meant to me? Am I closer to God now than I was then? Am I trusting in God that he will be my refuge from the storms of life? Am I more prepared for his coming now than I was 13 years ago? After all, we have been given time to prepare ourselves. What have we done with that time? The people trapped in those towers would have given anything to have been able to escape from that inferno. They would have promised anything to have been allowed to begin that day again. And this is what we have been given now, an opportunity to start again. Beginning today, a time now to renew that promise we once made at the time of our baptism, to serve our Lord to the best of our ability. God is our safe haven. He will keep us safe and secure. He is our refuge and our strength. It says in Hebrews, he has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. Hence we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So now we will remember our Lord and renew our vows to serve him acceptably. Brother Paul, please conclude with prayer after we've had our concluding hymn, number 207, hymn 207. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, O praise him, hallelujah. Hymn 207.